week, we started a new series called People Like Us. And it's a real and practical look into relationships through the lives of people like us, people in the Bible. They were real people in the Bible with real emotions, messy stories, but powerful lessons. And if you missed last week, we highly encourage you to go to YouTube under Life You See, and you'll be able to get past messages plus last week. And I really encourage you, because we've started this series and want you to be able to keep up with us. And in this series, we're going to explore the lives of couples, friends, siblings, individuals, people who face the ups and downs of life with real human emotions and feelings. And no matter where you find yourself, single, dating, married, divorced, grieving, hoping or healing, these stories are for you. And these people in the Bible, they're not just heroes. They're not perfect heroes. They're flawed, they're complicated, and they're deeply human. They're people just like us. Through their stories, God's going to show us a better way to do relationships, His way. So this morning, I've entitled my message, Break the Cycle. And we're going to be looking at the book of Genesis and the family dynamics of Jacob, Leah and Rachel, and Laban. And talk about messy love story, family dysfunction, generational patterns, manipulation, trickery, deception, jealousy, hurt, you name it. It's all in it. The family had it all going on. But God uses even broken beginnings to teach us and how to stop destructive cycles and start building something new. We're going to explore the importance of confronting past dysfunction, refusing to repeat it, acknowledging the right reality is what is happening in your life, and learning to build healthier relational foundations. So my first point this morning is dysfunction doesn't start with you, but it can stop with you. Dysfunction doesn't start with you, but it can stop with you. Isaac was 60 years old when his wife, Rebecca, gave birth to two children, Esau first and then Jacob. So let's look at Genesis 25, verses 27 and 28. As the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So we can see already there's favoritism in the family. Each child had a different parent that favored them. But Jacob, the younger one, is cunning and clever in getting his older brother Esau to sell him his birthright as the firstborn. And that was a very big deal in those days. And eventually Jacob, convinced by his mother Rebekah's deceptive and treacherous plan, tricks his father Isaac into giving Jacob, the younger one, the generational blessing, which should have gone to Esau, the eldest. Again, that was a massive, massive big thing. And Esau hated Jacob. Oh, he hated him because of what he had done. And he determined in his heart that once his father had passed away, he would kill his brother Jacob. So far, the family relationships consist of favoritism, deception, treachery, hatred, and even murderous intention. Netflix, eat your heart out. Dysfunction was normal for Jacob, not because it was right, but he was familiar with it. And perhaps there's situations in your life where there's dysfunctional things going on, but you've just got used to it. You're familiar with it. Rebekah, Jacob's mother, then gets wind of this threat and gets Jacob to flee to the land where her brother Laban lives. So Jacob falls in love with Laban's daughter. Jacob falls in love with Laban's daughter Rachel, and Laban agrees to allow her to marry him. Jacob agrees to working for Laban for 7 years in return for marrying Rachel. However, on their wedding night, it's now deceptive Laban who tricks Jacob into actually gives his eldest daughter Leah to sleep with him. The mind boggles as to how Jacob didn't know that Leah was sleeping with him and not Rachel. But let's say a lot of veils were worn in that day, and in a lot of celebratory drinks and feasting, and Laban had personally escorted Leah to her wedding night, so Jacob could have been easily deceived. But Jacob was not a happy camper in the morning when he woke up next to Leah and not next to Rachel. And the interesting thing here is that Jacob has spent his life deceiving his elder brother Esau and his father, causing untold hurt and disappointment. And now Jacob was feeling the cost of being deceived himself. So Jacob had to work another 7 years and got Rachel in the deal. So that's 14 years. You may not be the origin of the mess, but you can be the one to stop it. Jacob could have continued the pattern. He could have started deceiving Laban back, manipulating Rachel and Leah. But instead, over time, God leads Jacob towards a different path. You see, sin's consequences can echo across the generations. In Exodus 20, verses 5 and 6, it says, "I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children to the third and fourth generations of those who reject me." But listen to this. "But I lavish unfailing love to 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands." And when a person decides to follow God's ways, it halts the generational consequences. You can break the cycle. It stops with you. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, "If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have gone. Everything is made new." Many of us grow in patterns that we didn't choose. Divorce, bitterness, addiction, secrecy, manipulation. And because it's what we've seen, it can feel normal when actually it can be very destructive. Pastor Stephen Furtick in the USA, many years ago, I heard a great podcast and he said, "You are not your problem, the pattern is." You are not your problem, the pattern is. You know, in a relay race, the baton is passed on to the next person, to the next runner, and they get going and they do the same. Well, in life, the baton of faith, love and blessing, that can be passed on and that's good. Or it can be bitterness, pride and brokenness. And if the baton you've been handed is poison, you can drop it and refuse to pass it on to the next generation. Dropping it might look like forgiveness instead of revenge. Dropping it might look like telling the truth, even if your family taught you to hide things. Dropping it might look like saying, "It stops here, it stops with me." You cannot change your ancestors, but you can change your descendants. Your decision to break the cycle may alter your children's and your grandchildren's future. Think on that. The second point this morning is, you can't heal what you won't acknowledge. In Genesis 30, 1 to 24, we see the life of Leah goes on for Leah and Rachel, who are now both married to Jacob because he's worked all these years and he's got both chicks. Leah starts producing one child after another, but Rachel remains barren. Rachel had beauty and Jacob's affection, but no children. Leah had children, but she didn't have Jacob's affection. And so you would think instead of these sisters getting close, they engaged in a love and fertility war, using their servants as surrogates to outdo each other in having children. Beneath their actions were unspoken wounds. Rachel's identity was tied up in her ability to be able to or be able to not have children. Leah's worth was tied to her husband's affection, and both weren't getting it. They never addressed these wounds with God or each other. They fought around them instead of fighting through them so that they could get closer. Hurting people say and do hurting things. When jealousy, comparison, and insecurity aren't acknowledged before God, they leak out as competition, criticism, and control. The problem wasn't just who had more children between Leah and Rachel. The problem was the void inside. And do you find sometimes with things that may be dysfunctional in your life, if you really have a look at it, there is a void inside and you are trying to fill it. God brings truth into the open, not to shame us at all, but to heal us. Psalm 51 verse 6 says, I know that you delight to set your truth deep in my spirit. So come into the hidden places of my heart and teach me wisdom. John 8 verse 32 says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, but only if you're willing to face it. God's confrontation is always an invitation. He exposes sin so he can cleanse it. He uncovers pain so he can comfort it. Pastor Sam Monk at the conference that was just held down recently in Wanneasa the other week, he said, you can't conquer what you are comfortable avoiding. You can't defeat what you defend in secret. Think about that. You can't conquer what you are comfortable avoiding. You can't defeat what you defend in secret. You know, when the engine light comes on in your car, you have two choices. Lift the hood or ignore it. Ignoring it doesn't make the issue go away. It just makes the eventual breakdown even worse. Likewise, ignoring emotional and spiritual warning lights leads to relational breakdowns. The third point, emotional decisions versus faith decisions. Jacob's choice was driven by passion, not prayer. When Jacob first saw Rachel, he was instantly captivated by her. Her beauty grips him and emotions run high. Genesis 29 verse 30 says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love that he had for her. Wow, that must have been impressive. Jacob's love for Rachel was romantic, but you never read of Jacob pause to seek God's will. What begins as a beautiful love story becomes entangled in rivalry, deceptions, and decades of family conflict. Jacob's attraction was real, but attraction alone is not direction from God. Emotional impulses can set us up for decades of conflict. In Genesis 30, verses 1 to 3, we see Rachel's desperation for children leads her to give her maid servant to sleep with Jacob. This was a decision born out of envy and impatience. Emotion-driven choices often feel urgent and right in the moment, but they can create long-term consequences we didn't anticipate. Saying yes to a relationship without shared values can lead to years and years of heartache. Reacting in anger or your obsession to prove a point can permanently damage a relationship you value. Faith decisions are anchored in God's will, not in our feelings. Faith decisions require us to pause and slow down before you decide. Pray and bring it to God first. Seek wise counsel and weigh it against scripture. Then proceed, move in obedience, not impulse. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. James 1 verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Feelings are real, but they're not always reliable. Faith doesn't ignore emotions, it surrenders them to God for direction. Every major choice should pass through God's filter before it is finalized. And the fourth point is, patterns persist where boundaries are absent. After 20 years of Laban's manipulation, changing wages and using Jacob's labor for his personal gain, Jacob hears from God. Genesis 31 verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. This is the first time we see Jacob clearly setting a boundary with Laban. Jacob gathers his family and possessions and he leaves. Boundaries are not walls to keep people out. They're gates to keep they're gates to keep the wrong influences from controlling you. Boundaries are not walls to keep people out. They're gates to keep the wrong influences from controlling you. Jacob was no longer willing to live under the same terms of dysfunction. Boundaries don't destroy relationships. They redirect them into healthy channels. Without them, the flood of dysfunction just keeps flowing. Patterns stop when someone says, no more. My youngest grandchild, Winston, when he's nearly three in October, but this is when he's even about two or less, he was a little slower on talking than the rest of the kids, but he communicated very well. He knew how to communicate, he just wasn't talking. And there was one thing, though, in the lack of all the words he said, they had taught him at daycare, and it was stop, like that. And so he might be going, and you might be tickling him or doing something that after a while he didn't want. And while he couldn't say hardly anything, this stop would go up. The hand would go up, the stop. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, where's he got this from? And they said, oh, they teach them all that at daycare. But it was just so funny. Such a little fellow, but this stop, he knew how to put a boundary up very, very clearly. Dysfunction will continue as long as it's tolerated. Perhaps you need to go, stop. You can't change a toxic environment by silently hoping it improves. God can give you the courage to step out of an unhealthy cycle. Sometimes breaking the cycle may require changing how you respond, even if you aren't popular. In the book of Nehemiah 13, we see Nehemiah confronts mixed marriages that were drawing Israel back from God's commands. He wasn't popular, but he was faithful. Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "For it is freedom that Christ has set us free." God's plan for you isn't just survival. It is freedom. He is for you. He is for you every step of the way and wants to bring you get away from the dysfunctional things and patterns that have been in your life to bring you into healthy relationships and a healthy relationship with him. How do we break the cycle? We recognize the unhealthy pattern. We repent and turn to God's way. We replace the old behavior with biblical truth and new patterns. You can't stop an old pattern without replacing it with a new pattern. You need to think what the new pattern you're going to do will be and reinforce with accountability and boundaries. If the worship team could come, please. Jacob left Laban with some scars, but also with a new start. The dysfunction you inherited does not have to be the legacy that you leave. Break the cycle. It stops with you. God doesn't just free you from the past. He sets you on a new path for the future and for the generations coming after you.